Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Hello, and we have another great show today. Thank you for podcasting the show at your convenience. On this show, anything goes. That means you can talk about just about anything and everything within reason. If you have a product such as a really good and informative book or something that benefits my audience, then let me hear about it and maybe we can get you booked on this show. I'm always your host. I'm learning just like you are. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's get started. We are now on the air. Do not just listen. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here. Enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic like
the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Hi, everyone. Glad you're here. Glad you're with me. Glad you're out there. It's a perfect day in Chicago. It's 6:01, 6:02 straight up, and it's, you know what, it's still some daylight out here. Wow. And tonight, this is Saturday, this is daylight saving time. Time goes up 2 hours, and I hope I can remember that. But it's a beautiful day, beautiful time, and a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful feeling that I have, you know, so it's great, and the weather seems like it's getting better. I can see out of my window here that some of the stuff, the white stuff is melting, actually melting. So maybe come a couple of days from now, maybe there will be 50-degree weather. Maybe the weather forecasters won't be wrong this time. We can all go out and wearing our shorts because we deserve it. It's been a monster of a winter, and actually it's not over, but hey, wow, we're taking this with open arms. I mean, this is great. This is wonderful. You know, because I'm still a little bit under the weather because of the weather. But I feel good. I mean, things are great. Things are wonderful. Everything is going okay. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network. And you can always follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here. I mean, I have a Facebook page. I have a Amazon website also. I'm showcasing some of my work. And thank you for being here. Thank you for always participating in the show. I mean, if it wasn't for you, there would be no George Wilder Jr. Show. And that's the truth. That is the whole truth. So thank you for being here. Thank you for everything. Thank you. We're going to have a guest on the show in a little while. And I'm going to talk about some things in the news that I think are worth informing you on. So after the guest is, we've done with the guests, you can always stick around for the show to hear some of the important things I have to say about things in the news and stuff like that. And, you know, and I'm going to talk some more about finally being out of the deep freeze. And that's important because, you know, I'm the type of guy, I really can't stand too much cold, but I deal with it anyway. I guess we all have to deal with it anyway. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing. And, you know, and also there's a segment which I have on the show called Free Talk. Free Talk is just like anything goes. You know, it's anything goes Friday. Talk about anything you want. Anything goes on Saturday here. You can talk about anything you want as long as it is within reason, you know. And I like to reiterate some things that I've reiterated in past shows. I'm always on the air from 6 to 7 or 6 to 7:30 p.m., you know, 6 o'clock going into prime time. So if you see something on my screen that says 4 o'clock, starting 4 o'clock, it's erroneous. It's not true. because I don't do 4 o'clock. I don't do 5 o'clock. I do 6 o'clock into 7 o'clock, into 7:30, and I'm thinking about increasing the time that I'm going to be on the air, okay? So I just wanted to inform you of those things because, you know, you've got to get it right. You've got to get it right. I think it's something to do with Blog Talk Radio itself and not me, you know. So usually when I start, when it says 4 o'clock, it means 6 o'clock. I know that's weird. I know that's strange, but until we get this straightened out, it'll be that way. So deal with me. It's always Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. And like I said before, I'm going to try to stretch this to 2 hours because I love what I'm doing. I really, really love what I'm doing. So I think we have a caller on the line here. I'm going to bring him in. I'm pretty sure it's Rob Roy McCandless. I hope I'm not butchering your name or anything. Okay, let's see what we have here. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Live from Chicago. You can always broadcast this show after it's over and listen to it at your convenience. It'll always be here. This is my 49th episode, and it's great. I've been doing this 49 times. Yet I'm not. I haven't been a host a year yet. I started in September, so it's going well. It's going well. It's going well. It's going well. Hopefully. Hopefully. All right. Here we go. Here we go. All right. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Great. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Rob Roy McCandless on the show now. He's an author. Okay. Let me read you some of the things I have here. Okay. He's been a writer both professionally and creatively. Over 2 decades, he was born under a wandering star. I got to ask you about that. That led to a degree in communications and English with a focus on creative writing. Rob Roy is the author of Urban Fantasy, The Tears of Heaven, winner of the 2014 Best Science Fiction and Fantasy Predators and Editor Readers Poll, and a 2015 Epic eBook finalist. Okay. He continues to research and write historical genre fiction. He coaches high schoolers to argue, I'm thinking that's to argue a point of view, battle sprinklers, and to play with his 3 boys. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Here he is. Here he is. Rob Roy McCandless. Go ahead. I hope I didn't butcher
you,
your name.
No, you're doing great.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Okay.
How you doing today?
Your phone? Huh? I'm doing great. I'm glad you're here, man. I'm doing wonderful. Like I said before, I'm a little bit under the weather because it's been so brutal, you know. But I'm okay. I'm here, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you're here to talk about your book because I think it's a wonderful book. I love the title, Tears of Heaven. You know what I thought about when I first heard the title?
No, what's that?
I thought about that Eric Clapton song.
Oh,
he's got
yeah.
A song out. Tears in Heaven.
That's right.
But let's make it clear. Your book has nothing to do with that. So if the readers if the listeners out there thinking the same thing, it has nothing to do with the Eric Clapton song of a few years ago with the same title. Because that song, I think he made it after his young son passed away.
That's right. Yeah. And that was... The book was written, and in my head there was no equation between the two, and I hadn't even thought about it, mm-hmm. even though it was a secret song of mine.
Yeah, but great. Tell us something about the book.
Yeah, so the book is an urban fantasy, like you said, and it is about a mm-hmm. very strong female protagonist. She is half mm-hmm. mortal, half angel, and unfortunately, mm-hmm. because of her parentage, she's kind of doomed to work for the throne, and because of her particular situation, she has to fight rogue demons that come up, and she has to try to keep the world safe.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we want to be safe from demons. I mean, it sounds like an interesting premise. I mean, it sounds like you have something here. And the purpose of it is to get the word out so people can, you know, hear about it and maybe hopefully go and purchase it. If you, how did you come up with the idea and the premises? Are any of the characters, we know it's fiction, but are any of the characters based on real people or things that you've experienced that you decided to just, you know, make it a part of the story?
Right. Yeah. I don't know that an author could write a book in a complete vacuum. I think you have to have all those experiences. So obviously, a lot of the people that I know, an amalgam of them comes mm-hmm. into some of the characters and movies I watch, mm-hmm. books I read. All of that plays into it, and you just kind of throw it into that mixer, and then you create out of that. So you know, there's always more stuff in a writer's head than comes out in the novel. So there are people that so my character Marin was actually part of that character, that friendliness that Marin has, came from a coworker that I had. She just seemed to know everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hired at the same time, but I didn't know anyone. And she just like immediately knew everyone. Everybody was friends with her. She was friends with everyone. I just thought that was amazing. And I wanted to incorporate that into a character. And so that's the character that was born. So that kind of thing happens all the time.
You know, you're right, because a lot of the things that I write, some of the characters that I write are actually based on real people, but then there's a lot of characters I just actually just make up to just create them right from the onset. But
sure.
There's I had an author on here the other day, and she said that none of her characters were based on real people. You know, I didn't argue with her, because we're all different. No writer is the same. So, you know. And that's interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, that actually interests me that she said none of her characters, she makes all of her characters up. I guess she must be a harder working writer than you and I are. Like, is it lazy? I like to take those aspects of people that I find fascinating and then, you know, work with them, but maybe that's just laziness.
I don't know. I heard one time that, if you, if some characters that appear in your book are actually based on real people, and some people, I mean, if you have a job or something, you're at work and you have a mean supervisor, a nasty supervisor, and you're a writer, you go home and you put that character into your book and you kill it off or something. I don't know. But I've actually heard that happen, you know, and I have to say I'm kind of guilty of that too. It kind of takes away, for me, it kind of takes away some of the stress, to knowing that you can create a character. Yeah.
Help you get through the workday, right?
About. Yeah, help me. Yeah. Wow, you, I'm gonna put you in my book, and I'm going to make sure you drown. Something like that. But it's all fun. It's all fun. It's all good and everything. And how did you come up with the setting and the tone of the book?
Yeah, so Tears of Heaven bounces between two settings, right? It bounces between a contemporary setting, a current modern setting, and an ancient setting. And what I came across, I started writing this character solely from the current setting, so it was straight urban fantasy. And what I realized was, you've got this immortal character, and she can't just have come from nowhere. She's obviously has a lot of history, and consequently a lot of baggage. And I wanted to explore that and show her as, because in the modern setting, she's really jaded. She's very angry. She's frustrated with her life and her position in it. But in the past, she you don't start like that. And so I wanted to see that progression, that she came from somewhere where she was at least content, maybe even, you know, genuinely happy, and she went to some place where she wasn't. So that's where the setting came from when I started writing the book.
Okay. A lot of people, you know, they get ideas from a lot of places. How do you come up with your ideas for your book to incorporate them into a story? They just come up with them, or you just make them up, or what?
Well, you know, so Stephen King says, if you want to be a writer, you have to read.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
You know, yeah. So it's like if you want to be an accountant, you have to know how to do accounting. So if you want to be a writer, you have to do research into other writers and read and read and read.
Exactly.
And it's not just reading the fun stuff. Not that reading is bad in general.
You gotta read all the bad stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to read about history of your setting. Mm-hmm. You've got to know all this information. And even if it doesn't make it in the book, you got to do that research. And a lot of times doing that research, I come across really interesting stories. It's that whole, history mm-hmm. is more interesting than fiction. And I come across really interesting stories. And that's kind of how this started. I was just randomly uh-huh. doing research for something else, and I came across this concept of the Nephilim. And they're straight, I didn't even know this, uh-huh. straight out of the Bible. I'm a horrible Bible reader,
yeah.
apparently, because I didn't even know this. And there it is. It sits there right in Genesis. It's right at the beginning that mm. there were these half-angel, half-mortals. And I'm like, that is a really cool start to a story. So it was
wow,
in that
it is.
Research. Yeah. It was in that research that,
yeah.
that I came up with the beginning of the story, this basis. And I didn't know anything about it. And I just started digging into this one line of thought. And it all came, that's where yeah. it all started from.
Yeah, you're right about one thing, if I can take it back to what you said at the beginning. You have to be, before you can be a writer, you have to be a reader. You know, and I hate to say that, but there's a lot of people out there that don't like to read. And then they try to write.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Yeah.
You have to be a reader. I mean, I read every day. I may not complete what I read or finish it, but I do start. And mm-hmm. and when I find out, I read fiction. I read whatever's out there. I read romance. I read it all because I want to be well-rounded, when I start my stories. And
right.
I think being a reader is because if you read, actually reading teaches you how to write if you think about it. Because you're going to look at the quotations, you're going to look at the grammar, Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it
yeah,
does.
Absolutely.
I mean, you have to be a reader. You're breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that's. That's one of the things, like that's that story or that's that question you can always ask writers. What was the first book
yeah.
that you read that inspired you to start writing? And you'll get a myriad of answers, but there, in general, there's always that one book and you're like, yeah, that was what got me going. And whether it was a book that you're like, I want to strive to be like this writer, or it was a book that you were like, yeah, that book didn't work and I thought I could do something better. Either way, you come from that position of writing. And I think you're absolutely right that those writers who don't read, who reject reading but want to be writers, it's like we were saying, you want to be an accountant, got to learn to do accounting. So you want to be a writer, you got to read.
It's a non-starter. It's a non-starter if you don't read. Reading is beautiful. Reading is a wonderful thing. I mean, and I have tons and tons and tons of books. And believe
mm-hmm.
me, I read them all because I try to make time to read, because it's very important for me as a writer to read. Because I think if you read enough of books, you're gonna come up with a story from what you've read, an original story, because sometimes that reading can unlock something in your brain and say, hey, wow, this is a story right here for me. I just read it. But you got an idea from that book, an idea for a story of reading.
Absolutely, yeah.
Are you an action writer? You like action? You put action within your writing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Tears of Heaven has a lot of action in it, and I had to do a lot of research
mm-hmm.
on it because I'm a kind of amateur gun owner. I was a Boy Scout, so I know how to shoot, but I
uh-huh.
don't know a lot of the intricacies of shooting, and I really don't know the intricacies of firearm combat. So I had to do a lot of research on that
uh-huh.
because I wanted the action in the book to seem realistic. I didn't want to just start writing
yeah,
about
yeah, I, yeah.
things happening.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of action in my books because I like to think, and so far I've been told the action is realistic, even though I'm dealing with some very unrealistic elements.
Yeah.
The action is realistic, and it's great.
Yeah, if I can say, I do a lot of myself. I like writing action because I grew up watching action movies, and I grew up dreaming that I could be an action person, you know, out here. I just love it. I just think action just keeps the book moving, you know. It keeps the story moving. It keeps the reader turning pages because I feel that you have to have something. When you start the first page or the first chapter, it should be enough there to keep that reader going, turning the next page. That's why sometimes when I start my book, I start it off with action on the first page. Because I want the reader to be going saying, wow, what's the next page is going to be like? What is it? You know, so I do action, and I love it because I to this day I watch action movies. But sometimes I'll research a book by watching a movie, you know, just give me an idea of what to do and how to put it, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. That opening is so critical. And I've got a writing buddy who does beta reading for me. And one of the things he really got on me was I start too slow. Like I kind of like a slow boil. And he's like, you just can't do that. Readers need to be hit right in the gut, right from the beginning, so that they, even if they're confused
right from the get go.
Get them in there so that they're like, hey, what's going on? I need to keep turning the pages. And that's critical for a writer to do. You've got to feed them that. Yeah.
Right. I've read a lot of books where that didn't have that the ability to get you to keep you turning pages, you know. So that's important.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. I have another question for you. Why should readers choose your book, Tears of Heaven, over other books maybe of that same genre? You're selling a book.
Wow, that is a great question, George. So my book offers a lot of things. It's got a straight urban fantasy story, but it's also got sword swinging pirates, you know, from the past, and it bounces between those two. And I'm also telling the story.
Uh-huh.
When I first started writing this book, and I actually started writing it about 10 years ago, when there wasn't a lot of urban fantasy out there. There were a few things, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was there were not a lot of strong female protagonists. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with a strapping guy swinging a sword, shooting a gun. That's great stuff. I love that stuff.
Exactly.
But I thought there was a real market to show that women were just as capable, that they could be strong people, even if we're showing them strong symbolically, spiritually, mentally, you know, we could show them strong. And the book really conveys that. The book focuses on a strong female protagonist, but not to the detriment of male characters. I have male characters that are, you know, just as capable, just as strong, and it's all about them matching strengths and matching wits and matching ability with each other. And the book really provides for a wide audience to become invested in these characters.
That's great.
Settings that you wouldn't think of normally.
Do you think one day this book could be probably made into a movie?
Oh, man, wouldn't that be great? My father read the book. He read an early draft of the book before it was published. He, you know, I kicked it out to my family, and they read it. And he wasn't overly impressed, but one of the things that he said was, he said, it reads like a movie. And I'm like, well, that's kind of the idea.
Great.
Like, it would be great to turn this into a movie. I had to do rewrites and really make it cohesive. And he read it. He read the current version, and he was much – I don't know if he came to a different place, but he was much more impressed with it. But he said, yeah, I could see this. I could see it in my head the whole time, and it played just like a really strong movie. Yeah.
I try to write my books as if, you know, as if it was a screenplay or something like that. But I think most authors would love to see their books on the screen, but you know, sometimes that's not reality, but we still do the best we can. And okay, let me see. What would you say to those who want to write but give up because someone tells them not to do it, it's not worth it? How would you encourage someone to keep writing?
Wow, you know, part of my online presence is actually doing just that, encouraging other writers mm-hmm. to write, because it is so hard. And I think some people don't realize just how much work goes into even writing a short story, you know, 5,000 words, what is that, 10, 12 pages. A lot of work goes into that. But there's this, you know, I've run into a lot of great groups out there, a lot of forums, a lot of Facebook groups, and there seems to be this underlying motto between mm-hmm. the groups, and that is that, you know, a candle lighting another candle loses nothing. So that's really become kind of a foundation for how I talk to other writers who are writing, who are struggling, who hit that writer's block. You know, you just got to keep writing. It's so worth it. Even if you don't ever get published, your work is your work. And once you get that out there, you're like, I did that. I accomplished it. I completed it. And that is a great feeling. That part is so worthwhile.
Yeah, you're right. And I always try to tell people to always keep writing. If you love what you're doing, keep doing it. Don't let anybody come around and be negative towards you. Because I run into a lot of people who just give up, totally give up writing, and it's something they love. Well, a lot of people give up because they think there's no money into it or they're not going to get published. And then there's people who love to write, but they do not show their work to anyone. They hide it, put it in the dresser drawer or throw it somewhere. And it's a gem, you know. I mean, I always try to keep people doing whatever they're doing, especially if they love it, to keep doing it, because there's always going to be somebody out there that's going to tell them that they can't do it. But there's going to be people out there who will tell them that they can do it. So, you know, it's if you're doing something you love, keep doing it. Don't stop doing it. I mean, just because if your book is not made into a movie, don't stop writing. Keep writing, you know. You never know. The more you write, somebody might come and say, hey, wow, this is a movie. And even if it's not a movie, you know what, when I think about it, there are some books that I have, I wouldn't want to see made into a movie. Because I'm thinking the books basically are always better than a movie, if you think about it.
Right. Yeah.
Some.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah, almost always the book, because the book goes into so much more detail. You get so much more characterization and depth.
Yeah, the book is
there's
so
more
detailed.
Room for,
yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, okay, so if someone wanted to, you know, go pick up your book, do you have a link to it or something, or tell people where they can find it, you know?
Yeah, so my book is available by all fine ebook publishers, so Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. You can go to my publisher is Wildchild Publishing. They've got all the links on their site. I think just putting, if you go to Goodreads and you type in Tears of Heaven, I think my book comes up first. And it's Amazon, obviously, everywhere. So if you look for me,
I like
or you
the
look
cover,
for
man.
My book.
Get a nice cover.
Isn't it nice? Yeah, that was actually a last-minute cover. So, yeah, no, that's a great cover.
Yeah.
I had a great artist on that.
I think it's a great cover, and I know it's a great book, and I know the readers out there is going to, you know, go get it and have a good time, because it's basically entertainment, am I right?
Right, absolutely. It's writing to be read. It's entertainment for you to sit down and enjoy.
Yeah. All right, Rob, I'm sorry. Rob Roy McCandless, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. I thank you, and maybe we can talk about one more thing. Do you have any other books? Are you working on something currently?
Yeah, so I just finished. So Tears of Heaven was originally just going to be a standalone book. I had no plans to write a second book. But after it was released, I had a lot of people come to me, and they're like, well, we want to know more. We want to see what happens next. And I'm like, okay. So I've been working on some other stuff, playing around with some stuff. But this because people kept coming up to me, I'm like, okay, well, let me start working on something. And a whole plot line just opened up. So I managed to crank out a book. For me, it was cranking out. It took me about 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Uh, to pull the book together. It's very solid. My beta readers loved it. They thought it was much better than the first one. It's with my editor now, and it's supposed to come out this year. That book is going to be called Hell Becomes Her. So it's a second Dell book, and that one should
Hell
be out this year.
Okay.
And
All right.
Yeah. And so we'll see that one soon.
Do you always play on titles? Do you play on them? What you going to title your book?
You know, for the Dell books I have, for other books mm-hmm. that I've been working on, I haven't done so much. I've started a steampunk series. It'll start being a series. The Constable of Aqualine, and that one's pretty straightforward, but that's kind of a steampunk murder mystery. So that one, there wasn't as much room to play with. You kind of just have to, you know, in that genre, you kind of just feed into that genre. So, yeah, not as much with that title, but the Dell books really lent themselves to fun titles, I thought.
Yeah, I love titles, man. If you look at some of my books... Sometimes the title has nothing to do with the story inside. One more question. How do you choose your titles? Do you come up with the title before the story or the story before the title? Or you just wait?
So,
whatever.
Yeah, no, I think I always come up with the title during the writing process. Mm-hmm. So as the plot starts to unfold, I can kind of see what a general theme that carries through the book is. And then that becomes the title. I work on the titles. The titles aren't throwaway. It's something that I sometimes I struggle with more so than the writing of the book, because a title says a lot about the book, and it should really play into it. It shouldn't just be this throwaway. And unfortunately, Tears of Heaven, you know, we were talking at the very beginning of your show about how Tears of Heaven, there was that Eric Clapton song, and if I'd equated that, I would have gone with a different title altogether, because, you know, that is a great song, and obviously my book has nothing to do with that song, and he was there first, and I should have gone in a different direction, but it just didn't click in my head. I was so locked into that title, so, yeah.
But you see how they're so similar.
Yeah, exactly, and you don't want to do that. You want your book to be able to, the readers can relate to it. They know what it's about, and they can find it.
Right.
So
I see
a lot of titles of books tend to be, I don't want to say like a cliche line, but a cliche phrase that we use. And if you go search for a book, you're going to see like 8 of those, and you're like, wow. So titles are so important.
Yeah. Okay, tell the listeners one more time where they can pick up your book, Tears of Heaven.
Tears of Heaven, R.A. McCandless. They can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Any e-book retailer will have my book. And they can also find it at my publisher site, wildchildpublishing.com.
All right. Thanks a lot. And thanks for being here, author Rob Roy McCandless. Thank you so much. Take care, man.
Thank you, George. Thanks, George. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Okay, let's take a break right here. Here we go. Thank you. Hey, everyone. This is George Wilder, Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me.
hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for that rousing introduction. It always gets my blood curling and adrenaline going. Thanks for that. I'm George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from the city of Chicago. It is now 6:35 Chicago time. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This is the Wilder Network. And I want to say to the people out there, I'm a little bit under the weather. So if I say something or I skip over my tongue, give me a break. I'm a little bit under the weather, but it is so nice here. It is great. It is wonderful. I'm looking out on the avenue, and I'm looking at the cars and the people walk by. My son is asleep, I guess. Anyway, I want to talk about some things that's in the news. First, before I get to that, I want to thank Rob Roy McCandless for being here, a great author, a wonderful writer, a wonderful person. He was here talking about his book, As You May Have Listened, Tears of Heaven. It's a great book. Go pick it up. I mean, it's all over the place. Go get yourself a copy and entertain yourself. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr., the George Wilder Jr. Show. I want to turn the tables on this. I'm going to talk about something in the news. As we know, we have a Republican governor in the city of Chicago, and he's cutting. I've talked about this before. I've talked about it a lot, but I'm going to keep talking about it because we have to do something. We don't want too many people winding up in the streets, too many people winding up hungry, too many people evicted, which is what's happening. And right now what he's doing in the city of Chicago, like so many other governors are doing all across America, and that's cutting. They're breaking unions. So what I'm going to talk about in a little while, just his method of breaking unions, because a lot of people don't want to see their unions broke, because broken unions, decimated unions means lower wages, and you can easily be fired, and you're going to lose some of those privileges in that workplace. I mean, unions have been here for decades and decades and decades, and now these guys are. And some of these states are successful at breaking and busting unions. And it's sad, it's true, you know, but it's all the Republicans doing this. I mean, most of the Republicans are doing this, and a lot of them. There's few Republicans don't like busting unions, but they're, you know, after a while they'll join all the rest of the Republicans in busting unions and putting people out of work. And, you know, this is crazy, you know, cutting all these programs. I mean, he claims that he wants to bring Illinois into the realm where other states are their budgets are financially balanced. But this is not right. It's not right. You're not going to make this a great state by not paying your bills. You know, everybody has to pay the bills. I have to pay my bills. You have to pay your bills. The state of Illinois has to pay its bills. It's something else. But, you know, I want to say this. Okay, now listen to this. More than 40,000 state employees, Illinois state employees, are seeking to block Governor Bruce Rauner's executive order that would end a requirement that state workers pay union dues even if they do not want to join a union. I kind of agree, kind of. I do think maybe from my standpoint and my, you know, opinion, I do think when you get a job, you should have a choice of joining a union. Not that I'm on Rauner's side. I'm not. But I do think you should have a choice of if you want to join a union or not. Some jobs, if you go to some jobs and you get the job, you're automatically placed into a union no matter what you say. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that when you get a job, you should have a choice if you want to be in a union or not. In Illinois, it seems that people are okay with that. I mean, they're okay with being forced into a union without them having any say on if they want to join that union. Obviously, you know, feelings are actually, you know, being stepped on here by Bruce Rauner. And people are out in the street marching downtown to the State of Illinois building and wherever else he lives and in his face about this. Because the day that Rauner took office, I think I mentioned this before, the day that he took office, the governor of the State of Illinois, the day he took office, he started cutting. He started using his executive power on the first day. And get this, this guy has never ran, had never held an office, a political office in his life. Most of his businesses that he has held have gone belly up. There's court documents and court records to prove that fact. So what makes him think he's going to come in and just make Illinois, you know, the greatest state with the greatest financial, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm just kind of confused. Okay, so he's busting unions. I mean, just like any other governor, they're busting unions. They love it. And I think the only reason why, and I think I said this before, the only reason why they're going after the unions is because the unions are powerful. I mean, they have all these members, thousands and thousands of members. And these thousands and thousands and thousands of members, if they vote, can keep these people out of office. And the Republicans don't want that. Republicans want to hold on to power forever and ever and ever. They never want to give it up. And if a Democrat has power, they're going to, you know, really, really, really run him through the mud. You know, I mean, he's an awful person, you know. So, okay, 27 Illinois unions filed suit Thursday to invalidate the executive order Rauner signed last month blocking fair share union fees from state employee checks. I mean, when somebody messes with your money, that's it. They can bother anything else they want, but do not mess with your money. So Rauner is fooling around with employees' paycheck. He's screwing around with their money, and when he does that, he's out of office. Actually, this guy said that he didn't care if he got elected again. This was before this was on the first day he was elected. He said he didn't care if he, you know, pushed people the wrong way. He said he didn't care. He didn't care if you don't like him because he expected that, you know. But he has to, you know. These people are doing the right thing, I think. They're doing the right thing out there protesting this guy, and they're suing him. And I think they may win on this because I think they may have the law on their side, because if a person wants to be in a union, if a person wants their union dues deducted, problem. That's that person privileged to do that. Rauner has nothing. He should not come in and mess with that. If people want to be in a union, if they want to join a union, if they want to be a part of a union, if they want their money extracted and to go to that union, that's not Rauner's business. You know, he's messing with people's money. He's messing with your money, you know. So we have to do something about that. And I'm glad the people are out there doing it. The governor also said he's pursuing legal action to prevent. Okay, he's going after the lawyers to prevent public sector unions from tapping fees. Wow. So he's going to countersue. You know, this guy, he's unlikable. I mean, you've seen Dick Cheney's photographs. You should see the photographs of Bruce Rauner now that he's governor and he wants to cut all of these programs by using executive. Only reason why he's using executive order is because he knows that the General Assembly in Illinois is made up of Democrats and they're not going to go for that. So he uses his executive powers to try to get things done, you know, the way he wants them done. This guy's had 12 or 13 businesses that went belly up. What makes him think he can turn around if the state needs turning around? Makes him think he's going to turn around Illinois. He never had an office before. I said this before. I can imagine him and a lot of other people in a conference room or something sitting around a table, and they're all teaching and showing Rauner how to run Illinois, a big state. It takes more to run a state than just budget cuts. He thinks budget cuts are going to make this a wonderful state, a wonderful town. He's taking money from Chicago. I have to keep saying this because I'm part of this. I'm a voter. I'm a taxpayer. I have the right to vent against someone who's coming in to this state to tear it to pieces. And we all know that Republicans do not like government, government meaning social programs, to help those who are in need. You know, and it's just an atrocity. This man is an atrocity. And I'm not the only one saying this. I mean, you've got the elderly. Most of them are scared to death. They're worried sick in their homes, in their apartments, or in the nursing homes, because this guy said he's going to cut Medicaid, Medicare. I mean, why is it that Republicans don't want to see people go to the doctor? They would, you know, I mean, they would couldn't care less if we dropped dead in the middle of the street. I mean, when we elect these politicians, when we elect them, give them a job, give them a good job, and we give them, along with that, we give them the greatest health care in the world, including Republicans. We elect them too. We give them the greatest health care in the world, and they turn around and they don't want to give us anything. Oh, they promise the world when they're running for office, but once they get into office, they're other people. They become corrupt. They become rich. They become non-caring, you know. But you got some people out here, politicians, who try to act as though they're caring people. They're not. They're about their own bottom line, their family, their job, their futures, not yours, not mine. And we vote for these clowns. You know, someone once said, George, you want to be a politician? At one time I did. I thought I could make it. But I don't want to be among a bunch of crooks and thugs and corruptors. That's all there is, liars. Most of us know that. We know that. But I just hate to see kids, children, the elderly being abused, misused, because Republicans want to take that money that they save from cuts and give it to the rich. Like I said before, if you're not rich, if you don't have it, Republicans are not for you. I don't care if they're saying it. They're not. They're the 1%. We're the 99%ers. There's a lot more of us than there are of them. So it doesn't make sense to why all of these Republicans are in office now in Congress. It's because people didn't vote. People just did not get up off their lazy butts and go to the polls. That's why we have Bruce Rauner. That's why we have Chris Christie and other governors, especially down in the southern part of the country. It's awful, and they're cutting through the nose down there. They're breaking unions, or the unions have been broken. The fact that the Chicago unions and the Illinois State, the unions, are fighting back, and I'm on their side. Even though I have some issues with unions myself, I'm still on their side. Because like I said before in this conversation, I do think that once you get a job, you should have a right to say if you want to be in a union or not. If you want to be in a union, great, wonderful. That's you. But if you do not want to be in the union, that's your preference also. You know, but a lot of people prefer to be in a union because they know they have union protections, you know, and they don't mind giving a little bit out of their check every week or every month or every 2 weeks. They don't mind that. But Rauner and his cronies, they can't stand it. They think they're doing a great job, a wonderful job, by busting unions. They're saying that they're saving you money. They're not saving you money. They're actually going to, because once those unions are busted and the workplace, you have no more protections from the union, that employer can lower your paycheck. That employer can fire you so easily. You're out the door very easily. Those are the two things that's coming with that. you have no protections. You have nothing. You have no more double time, half overtime, days off, you know, sick time and stuff like that. All of that we've gotten through union participation down through the years. So we have to do something about this. We have to fight these politicians back. We just can't sit. I mean, I'm talking about all around the country, not just Chicago, not just Illinois. But we cannot sit back and let politicians, rogue politicians, run over us like a Mack truck because we're not rich like they are. We're people. We're voters. We're taxpayers. We're paying their salary. They work for us. They seem like they forget that. They work for us. If you're a taxpayer, I mean, if they're getting tax money, they work for us. Food pantries, shelters are being paid with tax money. Not the billionaires, not the millionaires and billionaires' paychecks. They're paid with our money. We should have a say on what, if we want them to stick around. Mental health facilities, paid with tax money. The workers, the employees that work at these agencies are paid with taxpayer money, our money. So we should have more of a say on this than governors like Bruce Rauner. And like I said, we have to stand up. We cannot just let these people run roughshod over us. We got to get out there and march. We got to talk. We got to bitch. We got to do this. We got to do that. And I'm not, like I said before, I'm not just talking about Chicago. I'm talking about all around the country because governors everywhere all around the country, including Scott Walker of Wisconsin, busting unions, taking the way of rights of employees, taxpayers in the workplace. They love it. They think it's a wonderful thing to bust unions. They think it's a wonderful thing. They think they're doing us a favor. They think that they're saving us money. We're going to be making more money, but that's a lie. The employers, they love it. They love it because they now can treat their employees any way they want to. Fire them, lower their pay, you know, take away their sick time, their sick leave, their leave, pregnancy, and all of this kind of stuff. The unions are here for one reason, and that's protect you in the workplace against overzealous employers, if I can say that. This is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm talking about some things in the news. I am a little bit under the weather. I'm totally under the weather, even though it's a nice day out. And the winters here, if I can harp on the winters again, we're finally out of the deep freeze. But hopefully, I don't want to go back. For the last few days, the weather people, the meteorologists, have been predicting that it's going to be, in the coming days, it's going to be like in the 50s. And the way it is now, the way I'm looking out of the window here, it feels like that's going to ring true. If it doesn't, they better pack up and leave. But I think it's going to be that way because they're all on the same page about this. So let's hopefully, and I can imagine some of the people who are going to be passing by my window, I can imagine some of them how they're going to be dressed, especially the young girls. They love it. They love it. I mean, they don't have to cover nothing up now, so they love that. But it's a great time. It's a beautiful night. And also, I want to remind everybody, if you don't already know, before you go to bed tonight, it's daylight saving time. Daylight saving time. That means that the days are going to last longer. And that's a great thing. It's dark now, but by this time tomorrow night, this time tomorrow, it's going to be a little lighter out here. It's going to be a little lighter. And I love longer days. They're wonderful. The longer you can be outside, the sun is out, it's beautiful, hopefully it won't be freezing. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And let's hope the spring comes early. I think we're about 10 or 15 days from spring, something like that. But anyway, we're going to see a little bit of it next week, I hope. You know, I hope, because I am really under the weather, especially when you have to go out and go to work and all this stuff, go to school and all this stuff, and you're doing it day after day, in and out, blah, 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 blah. It's going to affect you. It's going to affect you. I have some medicine in there, so I'm going to go take a few drops of when the show is over. I've got the sniffles and all of that kind of thing. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. My call-in number is 347-857-1762. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for buying a book or two that I have written. Thank you for listening to the show. Follow me on Black Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. I'm on Amazon, too. I'm all over the place. I am all over the place. I'm going to take a break right here. I will be right back. Here we go. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic, like I said before, like I always say, no topic is off limits. Talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Hey, I love what I'm doing. I love that you're there. I want you to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Google, my website. I'm all over the place. Glad you're here. Enjoying the show along with me. Just follow me. Hey everyone, this is George Wilder Jr., author and radio host. Follow me right here on Black Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. No topic.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you. I'm back. I just want to quote something here. Governor Rauner's political obsession with stripping their state employees' rights and driving their wages down demeans their service. Hurts in middle class is blatantly illegal. Okay? They're saying that these cuts that he's proposing or these cuts he's enacted are illegal. However, he has hired a lawyer to fight for the cuts, and the unions have hired lawyers to fight against the cuts. So we'll see what happens, you know. Also, they say that they hope that the courts restore the integrity of the democratic process and to make clear that no one, not even Governor Rauner or anyone else, can place themselves above the law. I hope these people know what they're doing and they go up against this guy and just overturn what he's trying to do. Because this is mean-spirited. This is awful, what he's trying to do, cut Medicaid. They can't stand food stamps. I mean, people are using food stamps for good reason. There's not too many people out there that are misusing the program. Full use food stamps, that they need food. I mean, you can see them in the store when you go to the store. I mean, they're all there. So, but he and the Republicans, they don't like that. They don't like to see people eat. They don't like to see people go to a doctor. You know. I don't know. And like I said before, the Republicans don't care if you go into work every day. They don't care. You know, you got to pay your house note. You got to pay your car note. You got to pay rent. They don't care. They're rich. They don't have to do these things. They are so out of touch, it's unbelievable. And then 2008, 2009, we hired Barack Obama. And I have to say, I think things are worse under Barack Obama than ever before pertaining to African Americans. Because you always hear that question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? You can say it this way, are you better off than you were 6 years ago? Because that's when Obama took office. I think things have gotten worse. I do. I think things have gotten worse because we've gotten nothing but Republicans in these political offices. Nothing but Republicans. Okay, so the jobs report came out, was great this month, 5.5%. But, you know, what kind of jobs are they? Like I said yesterday, what kind of jobs are they? The minimum wage, part-time. Can you survive on a paycheck from one of these jobs? Those are all good questions. Good questions for Obama, you know. I mean, you can produce job after job after job after job. But what you want to know, are they jobs where you can make a decent living off of? Pay your rent, your mortgage, your car note, or whatever else you have to pay. Children, food. You know, you want to make sure that they're good jobs, you know. But going back to the thing, what I just said, are you better off than you were before Obama took the office? Yes. But, you know, I mean, a lot of us are not. They're not. They're not. And that's one of the things I'm disappointed in Obama. I think Obama is really interested. He was more interested in just gay rights and immigration. I don't see anything down there on that agenda for African Americans or just people in general, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I just heard Obama say that his daughters are not going to run for office, political office. A few years ago, Michelle Obama, his wife, said she wasn't going to run for any political office. And Obama has stated that he will be really glad once he's out of office. So there you go. I would like to see another African American run for president. I really would, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to see that in my lifetime, because I'm pretty up there already. So I don't know if I'm going to see something like that in my life. I would love to see a real African. I mean, one that with pure blood. You know, somebody who's actually black. Not that I'm saying anything negative or derogatory toward Obama. It's just that we need some leadership. I mean, we really need some leadership. We don't need leadership just around the world in foreign countries, foreign policy. We need American policy right here in this country also, because the people voted for Obama. We voted for Obama. The Republicans did not vote for him. Netanyahu did not vote for him. People in Iran and Iraq and Syria didn't vote for him. So his priorities should be on focusing on the people who voted for him in these United States. But apparently they have not been that way. So I'm not bashing Obama or anything like that, because there's some people out there who really, really love him for one reason. I don't know, but there are. And I'm not an Obama hater. Don't put me in that category. I'm just a person. I'm a voter. I'm a taxpayer. I'm an independent. And I have the right to my own opinion about because I voted for him twice. The second time I held my nose and voted for him. I said, oh, man, I got him. Because obviously I felt he was better than the other guy. You know, the other guy was a Republican and we were in trouble. So the Supreme Court, looks like Obama's going to get a win on this one. You know, because they're deadlocked, undecided on this Obamacare thing, and a lot of people are saying, "Wow," breathing a sigh of relief, because we thought they was going to decimate the American Care Act, as some people call Obamacare. We thought they was going to really, really tear it apart, and then people be dying in the streets. You know, so apparently that's not going to happen. At least I'm hoping it doesn't happen, because anything in Washington can change at a drop of the hat. Things can change. I can say something about something that's political, and next thing, you know, they done changed it after I go off the air. So let's just hope that people can keep their health care. I don't think Obamacare is the greatest health care in the world. I really don't. Some people can afford it. Some people can't. Like I said before, I don't think Obamacare is for everybody. And that's what bothers me. And then you're going to be fined for it. And then you got to all the problems that it has arise because of it. You know, I was a single payer guy. A lot of us were single payer guys a few years ago, but the Democrats screwed that up. And they did. I mean, we want a single payer. Single payer is just you walk into a doctor, you get, you know, get your medical treatment, and that's it. You don't have to pay anything. You know, but, you know, I don't think Obama wanted that. And at that time, Rahm Emanuel, he was the chief of staff of the White House. He was working for Obama. I'm pretty sure they connived with each other to not bring us single payer and give us this, Obamacare. And I don't know why they call it Obamacare, but apparently Obama likes it being called Obamacare. I guess, I don't know, maybe that's that's his legacy, maybe, just Obamacare. But I want to say something about the jobs report being 5.5%. That's great. It's wonderful. Regardless, you know, whether they're good jobs or not, this is good for Obama. I mean, he's smiling from ear to ear on this. You know, I mean, he's saying that he delivered. You know, it took him 6 years, but he delivered. You know, 5.5. I don't think I've ever known it. Been around since it was five, like this low. It's really low, and it's a good thing. It's a great thing. It means the economy is on the mend. The economy is doing well. It means that employers are hiring. That's what it means. People are getting jobs. You know, if you don't have a job, it means you don't want one. But people, these guys out here, they're hiring. They're hiring. I said something the other day about how do you act at an interview or how you do a resume. If you want to know that, just go back to one of my shows. I think it's episode 45, 46 or something like that. And I'm talking about it. You can learn a lot from that. Not that I'm a teacher, but it's a lot of stuff in there that's informative. A lot of pieces and that are, you know, to be dissected. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm a little bit under the weather. I'm trying to get through this as best I can. Bear with me. Thank you for being there. Thank you for podcasting. That's another thing. If you don't have time to listen to the show, if you got something else to do, this is Saturday night. Nobody wants to sit around and listen to the radio on Saturday night. But, you know, once you get done with whatever you got to do, you can always podcast the show, listen to it later. That kind of thing. Listen to it later if you can't listen to it now, but always listen to it. Always listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You'll always find something here that's informative. I try to show you something new. Get something out of the show. That's what I want people to do. I want you to get something out of the show. Don't just listen to the show, but listen for things that you can, you know, use or something that can give you, you know, that knowledge that you didn't have before you, you know, tune into the show. Okay, this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm broadcasting live from Chicago. It's 709-710 Chicago time. My number is 347-857-1762. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here, and then follow me on Facebook. I'm always on Facebook. Hook me up on Facebook, but usually when the show is over, I'm right back on Facebook. But you know what? Being a radio host, it's not easy. It's not easy being a radio host. I mean, you have to be, what can I say? You have to be smart. And I'm not just being facetious when I say that. You have to have the ability to run a radio show, whether it's internet radio or traditional radio, where you just have a radio in the house and you turn it on and you turn it on to the talk show. It's not easy. You have to prepare. Every show that I have done or will do, I have to prepare for it. I mean, you just can't sit down here at a mic and start talking. because if you do, your audience, if they're listening, will know that you didn't prepare. Just like you go into a classroom and a teacher says, you came in here, you're not prepared. You got to go home and prepare yourself and then come back and take this exam. It's the same thing with the radio. I mean, with this radio hosting thing. You have to prepare. Like when I get off the radio, when the show is over, it's not really over. I'm still, because I have to prepare for the next show. I have to, you know, write, like I said before, like I said yesterday, I write the show. Everything you see on the screen, everything you see there, I put it there. I write the show, the topics and everything and the conversation starters and stuff. Sometimes I use a little help with that. But basically, I'm the writer, I'm the producer, and I'm the host. And it's not easy. It's not easy. That's why I give myself 3 or 4 days off. Whenever I'm not on the radio, I'm preparing to be on the radio. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'm not on the radio. But you can believe that I'm setting myself up to be on that coming Friday from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, 7:30, 8 o'clock. And because of that, I'm thinking about expanding, because I love what I'm doing. Just like I was saying with the Rob Roy, the author, if you love what you do, you keep doing it. You keep doing it. You don't let anybody nowhere tell you to stop doing what you love to do. If there's negative people around you, get rid of them or leave them in the dust, because you cannot be successful if you have negative people around you, if people are whispering in your ear, of people trying to bring you down. Keep doing what you love. Keep doing it always. It will make you happy. And once you become successful, those people are going to be looking you up, probably asking you for money. The same ones who did not support you in the beginning. And I would say, tell them no and keep going. You need good people around you. You need people around you can trust. And that's hard to find. That's totally hard to find. But in some things you can't do by yourself. So you have to have people around you. But you have to have good people around you, people you can trust. And that's hard to find. If you don't have many friends, that's hard to find. And in some cases, if you do have friends, you better check them out and vet them. Make sure they're not going to stab you in the back when you turn around. Or try to tell you can't do it when you know you can do it. So my name is George Wilder Jr. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. Broadcasting live from Chicago on the Wilder Network. My number is, if you want to call in or just, you know, hang out and just, you know, write it down and jot it down and call in later and talk about some of the things we're talking about. Give, you know, put your best foot forward, they say. My number is 347-857-1762, George Wilder, George Wilder. That is me. I'm going to take a little break, and I will be right back. Here we go. We'll be right back.
hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Okay, I'm back. Thank you. Go get a drink of water to clear my throat. Okay, here we go. We're talking about some things in the news. Let's see what else is here. The Bears, Chicago Bears have, I don't know if they're going to get rid of Jay Cutler or not. I'm talking a little sports here, things in the news. I'm not going to be talking much about it. Just want to get some things out there because I'm tired of talking about Rauner. I don't want to give him that privilege that someone's talking about him because he would love it. I mean, he likes the attention, and I'm trying not to give him too much attention. But when he's talking about hurting people, hurting kids, hurting the elderly, you have to say something. And basically, most of the talk that's been about this governor in Illinois has been negative. It's been totally negative. But, you know, he's got the ear of the Republicans, and that keeps his spirits up. That keeps his knife out so he can cut. So, you know, I mean, we got protesters and, you know, funding and everything. I mean, everything is being cut. He's cutting money from CPS. He's cutting money from the city. We're going to be like Detroit. We're going to be soon like Detroit. I hate to keep harping on Rauner because I don't think he deserves it, but we have to do something. We have to do something. We have to do something about this. We just can't sit back and let these things happen when, in some cases, this guy has no right to do these things. He has no right to do these things, but he thinks he's godsend to Illinois, and he's going to make it right, and he's got every Republican ear. I think Scott Walker of Wisconsin is his pup, you know. I mean, they're calling each other, and I'm pretty sure Scott Walker is telling him how to do it. I'm pretty sure the millionaires, the Koch brothers, are in his ear, telling him to do this, telling him to do that. But Pat Quinn said the other day, and I said this on a radio show yesterday, I believe. He said when Rauner was running his campaign before he became governor, and he was campaigning, Pat Quinn said if he'd have told the people of what he was going to do now by cutting everything, he would not have been elected. And that's true. If we'd have known what Rauner was about from the get-go when he was campaigning for governor, he never mentioned that he was going to cut the children's daycare center for the kids, the children. He never mentioned that he was going to cut food stamps, Medicaid, money from Chicago. He never mentioned that he was going to cut money from CTA, Metra, and Amtrak. He never mentioned those cuts and a lot more cuts that he's thinking of. So, like I said before, how can you make this a great state when you're cutting so much? How can a great state be great if you got unemployed people? If you have people walking the streets because the mental facilities have been shut down. The shelters are closed. Or the funding for shelters have been cut, so they can't have too many people. They have to, you know, turn people away, out, and it's cold outside, you know. So it's kind of ridiculous. It's terrible. It's awful, and I'm kind of tired of talking about it. So, but you know what? That's the thing. When I think about it, that's the thing. Talking about it. I'm just talking about it. I got to get out here and do something about it, just like everybody else. You get to do something about it. Talking about it is not going to get you anywhere, or me or anyone else. We got to get out here and be proactive and show this guy that he cannot come into this state and ruin it and then turn around and say it's better. So we have to be proactive. I got to be proactive. I got to get out here too, just like everybody else. I'm no different from anybody else. So we have to do something in this state. You know, not just Illinois, as I've said before, but all around the United States with governors who are not doing the business of the people, but doing the business of their own party. The Republicans are thinking about their own party. They're not thinking about the people. And if they say They're thinking about you, me, and the rest of them over there. They're lying. The only way they're going to think about you, me, and the rest of us, we have to be rich just like they are. Okay? Just like they are. Okay, like I said before, spring is coming. Basically, and one of the things we can tell that spring is coming, that this gonna days are going to start to last longer starting tomorrow night. Isn't that something? Oh, wow. That's great. You can be outside a lot longer, you know. And one of the things that good weather brings, in probably most states, if not every state, and that's crime. Crime. The warmer it gets, the shooting starts, the thievery, the thuggery. And I want to tell my seniors out there, you're my seniors, you guys be careful out there, because they're breaking in your homes. Burglaries are up. Make sure you lock your doors, lock your windows. Keep the bad guys out. And if they should get into your house or your apartment somehow, make sure you have an automatic weapon and just blow them away. You're within your rights. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. These guys are out here. Summer's coming, hopefully. Summer's coming. And when summer comes, the criminals come. They're walking through your neighborhood. They're casing your neighborhood. They're casing you. They're watching where you go. They're watching how you dump your garbage. They're going to go through your garbage and see what's within your garbage. The majority of the time, the garbage tells them what is in your house. So be careful. Watch where you walk. You're walking down the street. Look behind you. Look in front of you. Look on the side of you. These guys are running up behind you and could hit you in the head. They're out there. Be careful. Be careful. And I have to say this for the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel. He's got an F from me on crime. He's got a big, fat F. Because I don't think, and he should fire that superintendent. What's his name? Gary McCartney. It's just so funny. This guy, I mean, every time there's a shooting in Chicago, he gets on television. No matter what. He gets on television, and the first thing he says, crime is down. He don't miss. He doesn't admit. He doesn't quit. When he's on television, crime is down. And we're saying, wow, three people just got shot over here. Four people got shot over there. Then the criminals are still out there, you know, to shoot again, and he gets on a TV, or I guess they call it a press conference or something, and he gets, crime is down, and he gives us the statistics and all of this, and from 2013 to 2012, 2014, he compares all of that, I guess, and he says, crime is down. Mary Manuel standing right there beside him, agreeing, crime is down. And he needs to be fired, because anytime 30 people get shot on the weekend, and then all he gets up there and says, crime is down. Yeah, crime is down. We're making improvements, but it could be better. But crime is down. This is crazy. I hope Emanuel loses his runoff election, because I don't think he deserves to be in office. And then whoever's next in office could fire this guy, this police superintendent, because he's lying to all of us, you know, because he wants to keep his job, $300,000 job, I'm assuming. He wants to keep his job. He's lying to the rest of us, you know. So this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm practically off the air. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. I'm not quite off the air yet, but I will say this. It's been wonderful. It's been a great time. I love what I'm doing, and I'm going to keep doing it. I have my critics, you know, and sometimes your critics, I listen to my critics. I really, truly listen to them, you know, because there may be a time I may agree with them on something. But, you know, but I'll never let them stop me from what I'm doing. And I want to harp on that again. If you're doing something you love, keep doing it. And if you're looking for something, go after it. Nothing is going to come to you. You want something, go after it. You want to do something, go after it. Nobody's going to knock on your door and say, hey, wow, we got this great job for you. You have to go out there and find what you're looking for. Dig down inside of yourself, you have, and go find what you want to do or find what you think you can do out there in this world. You're young, you're vibrant, you know, you're strong, you're healthy. What's stopping you? The world is yours. Go out there and grab what you want and be a part and be a productive part of society. Be a good part of society. Whereas you learn as much as you can learn, and then you can go out and teach others, because there's always others willing to learn what you know if what you know is constructive. Yeah, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. Okay, the weather is holding up, okay? I still got to talk about the weather. Okay, this is free talk time. Oh, yeah, just talk about anything you want. If you want to call in, my number is 347-857-1762. I'm practically off the air, and I'll be on. I hope you'll be with me tomorrow. I will be back on Sunday with a longer daylight outside, and that's great. That's wonderful. The sun, I don't know, something about the sun, it does something positive to you. It's shining on you, and it just radiates all over you, and just make you want to just, hey, the days are lasting longer. You walk into the park, walk by the lake, you know, that's a great thing, you know, that's a great thing. I wanted to say, when the author was here, I wanted to say when I first began to write, what inspired me to be a writer was libraries. I'm going to talk about that more tomorrow, but tomorrow night was libraries. I mean, I remember the first time, I must have been, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 or 8 when I first walked into a library, and I walked into a library all by myself. There was no one with me. So this is why I'm saying I probably was 6 or 7 or 8, 7. And I walked into the library all by myself, and all of a sudden, it was like walking into a mansion or something. I mean, with books around the wall. I was enthralled. I was very enthralled at that. Okay, I'm going to talk about that more tomorrow, how I discovered the library, which encouraged me to write. Okay, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm practically off the air. I hope you join me tomorrow. I will be here. I'm hoping I feel a little bit better tomorrow. So I can kind of get through it. And like I said before, every show that I do, I have to prepare for it. So being a radio host is work. Is work. Sometimes I have to go out and see if I can get guests for the show. And then sometimes someone will, you know, tell me that they would like to be a guest on the show, and I check them out, I research them. Hey, wow, that's no problem. That's no problem. Now, on this show, everything's free. You be a guest, it's free. You know, to promote your book, it's free. You know, I mean, I don't charge anything. It's free. You've got other radio stations out there will charge you through the nose, but not me. But I am looking for sponsorship. I am looking for sponsorship. I mean, I'd lie if I didn't say that, you know, because you always want to make a little money of what you love to do, you know, because I'm investing in the show. The show is not investing in me. I'm investing in it. You know, like I said before, I'm the writer, I'm the producer, I'm the host. Maybe that'll change in a few weeks or a few months, but right now, that's what I am. And it's fun. It's fun. It keeps me busy. Keeps me busy. And I, as long as I know that you're out there and you're listening, that keeps me going. Like I say on every show, you know, every show, I say, my listeners, you out there, and my current listeners and my future listeners, you guys, keeps me doing this. And I know that I'm just a needle in the haystack on Block Talk Radio and the Wilder Network. I know. I know I'm just an ointment in the oil, you know, but I'm trying to crawl my way up out of that, you know. So I've had people give me good feedback on the show, and that's great. That's wonderful. But like I said, it's my show. I'm an investor in it. If it goes down, then it's my fault. There's nobody to blame for me. If this show fails, and I don't think it is failing, but if it does fail, then it's nobody to blame but me, because I'm the sole proprietor of this show. So, My name is George Wilder Jr. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be back tomorrow, and I hope you are here with me because it's always fun, it's always interesting, it's always informative, and I love to laugh. What can I say? I'll see you guys tomorrow. I hope to see you tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye. There we go. Another great show has come to an end. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there. Thank you for podcasting the show. For your listening pleasure later. I'm on the air 3 days a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, for 90 minutes each day, starting at 6 p.m. The reason why I call the show great, because it makes me feel great. I enjoy doing it. See you next time. Bye.